Insights into the financial markets and investing. To get your own personal financial review, call them at 314-292-6201 and tune in weekday mornings at 6:50 on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday,
crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort, which leaves nothing for Ian and Dan. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. What?
Well, that would be actually not a bad thing, would it?
No.
We don't have to put in any. Do we still get paid? That's all that matters.
Yeah, we're okay.
So this is the final Friday show of February and the final Friday show before Icepocalypse 2015.
Oh, my goodness.
It's coming on Sunday.
That's what they say.
What do they say? 2 to 3 inches of snow in the morning and then freezing rain and ice later on in the day.
And then depending on who you listen to or who you watch on TV, the snow is supposed to start Saturday night between 6 and 8. Or late Saturday night.
Well, here's how
around midnight.
I'm not a scientist, but here's how we can narrow down exactly when the snow is going to start falling at its heaviest.
Mm-hmm.
When are you scheduled to take the stage with your band tomorrow night?
Yes, that's 8 o'clock. He's all fired up about it.
8 o'clock at Elmo's Hideaway Pub.
So I'm going to go. Ferry. I'm going to go with 7:55.
Yeah, that's it. I'm sure. That's what happened.
You have a remarkable run of having gigs when something else, weather or otherwise, gets in the way. Don't
yes.
You?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm looking at the this is why I avoid weather.
Mm-hmm.
I avoid every weather forecast. I don't look at the weather. My wife is the exact opposite. She's constantly monitoring the weather.
Yeah.
So I just went to weather.com to look. That's the Weather Channel's website.
Yep.
Today, 19 degrees.
Yep.
Right now, mostly cloudy, 0% chance of precipitation. Tonight, 14% cloudy, 0%.
14 degrees, you mean?
14 degrees. Saturday, 35 degrees, p.m. snow showers, 50% chance. So essentially, it's coin toss.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they tell you, though, that it's supposed to snow, but then...
Really? You can't get better than 50%?
And when we talk about afternoon, it's 3:16 in the afternoon now, so 24 hours from now, we do not have the science nailed down.
It's a coin toss. It's
right.
A flip of a coin.
Yeah, we might get it, we might not get it.
But they have their super-duper Doppler weather.
That's why I absolutely hate the weather. She'll do that, my wife. She'll say... Something, you know, let's say we are planning something for next weekend. She'll go, well, you know, it says here
next week
that
on the 10-day forecast.
Yes, at 10 a.m. on Saturday, next Saturday, that some ice will be moving.
Well, you know, that hourly thing is even worse now because if you have an app on your phone, like the iPhone weather app, you can tap on any day on the day that you're in, and it'll tell you what the forecast is going to be hour to hour. Cloudy, rainy, windy.
Precipitation each hour, too.
Yes.
It's just.
And then what they do is they scare the crap out of everyone, and then everyone will either stay in or they go to the grocery store and
tomorrow.
Buy.
Tomorrow will be French toast day.
French toast, and then.
Yes.
And then we have a dusting, and they go, well, the entire system moved north, or the entire system moved south. Or it hit a high-pressure system and it stopped or something. Something happened. Something's going to happen.
When we had the snowstorm a few weeks ago, and by the way, when we talk about this, we have to keep in perspective that our snow is nothing compared to other parts of the country.
Oh, the 5 feet up in the Northeast.
Well, my sister-in-law, who lives in the Boston suburbs, they've had 100 inches of snow. They had more snow in 1 month than Anchorage, Alaska gets in a year.
That's crazy.
So when we're talking about 2 or 3 inches of snow and maybe some ice, they're going, school wouldn't even close here for that.
Yeah.
Now, that is when you want to go to the store and get something and get supplies.
Because you might have to be stuck in your house for a while because you can't, you know, you got to be plowed out of your yard in a situation like that. But when we had the storm here a few weeks ago that dumped maybe like 4 inches on us, when it gets to that point, I will go out and shovel the driveway and the front walk. When we had the storm a few days ago that dropped maybe 3/4 of an inch, I'm not shoveling. And yet my neighbor with the snowblower is out there at 7:30 in the morning.
But
I will shovel.
But what?
Because I cannot stand.
You paid for a snowblower. You have to justify.
That's true.
You have to justify that expense.
That's very true. So you're saying he's amortizing it at my expense.
And it looks fun. I would, if I had a snowblower, I think I would go out there for every inch or two. Because I'll tell you what.
Yeah, the snowblowers, if you, like Peon said, if you invest in it, you're wanting snow.
Yeah, he's looking at Sunday and going, buddy, I'm going to be out there Sunday.
This expense has to be justified. Especially to the wife.
Because there was the argument ahead of time. We're not spending $300. I don't know how much it costs, but let's say. We're not spending $300 on a snowblower. We live in Missouri.
Yes.
We don't get that much snow. We don't live in Boston or International Falls, Minnesota or Anchorage, Alaska.
I have to get a snowblower because, honey, you know I have a bad back.
No, that's not the argument, that you cannot sell it that way. Here's how you sell it. Honey, I love you so much. I just don't want you to slip and fall with even a little bit of slippery stuff on the ground. I'm only doing this for you.
Guys have been known to have heart attacks, too.
That's
shoveling.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, that wouldn't really be for her.
That's true.
Because there are a lot of wives that go, no, don't get the snowblower, keep the shovel.
Yes.
And don't get that shovel with the curved handle because
that's
good
shovel
for your
that
back.
Snow. They're watching you in the window out there. Yeah, shovel that snow. Come on.
Yeah.
All over.
Yeah. Before you go out there, would you sign this life insurance policy? It's a slightly higher premium, but I think it's worth it, honey.
Yeah. So I'm hoping they are wrong once again.
Well, 50-50.
It is 50-50.
One last thing, and this is not a show that gets political at all, but yesterday, this senator, James Inhofe, who's a global warming climate change denialist, he was actually on the floor of the United States Senate holding a snowball, because it must have snowed in D.C. this week.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding a snowball and showing it to people, and he threw it to one of the Senate pages. He used the snowball as proof that climate change is a hoax. Again, I'm not a scientist, but I'm pretty sure that nobody who has been telling us about the problems with climate change ever said that it cancels winter.
Yes, it'll never snow again.
Nobody
of
said
what we've
that.
Done to the
no.
You get the feeling that for this Senator Inhofe, if you handed him a helium balloon on a string, he would buy that gravity was a hoax.
Yes.
How is this thing staying up like this? Obviously, there can't be gravity if this is hanging up in the air and not falling back down to Earth.
I think they're all nuts up there.
Yeah, I think so, too. Leonard Nimoy died today at age 83.
Wow, I would have thought he was older than that. But
you know, Carney last hour played an interview he did with Nimoy back in 2013, 2 years ago. When he had a small part in the latest Star Trek movie, the one called Star Trek Into Darkness, which was a sequel to the reboot of the Star Trek franchise from several years ago. And if he died at 83 today, so 2 years ago when Carney talked to him, he was 81. The guy couldn't have been more lucid. He couldn't have been more,
He sounded...
It was like you were talking to a guy who was 41.
And he was looking forward to it reaching 50 years on the air.
That's right, because next year will be, 2016 will be the 50th anniversary of Star Trek going on the air. He was talking about that. And all I could think as I was listening to that, you know, I liked Leonard Nimoy, not just on Star Trek, a couple of other things I'm going to mention here in a moment. But I also thought to myself, man, I hope when I'm 81, I can sound like that. Just sounded so great in that interview. I also wanted to say to everybody who feels they have to post this information online, before you put it on your Facebook feed, before you put it on Twitter, maybe you want to look and see how many millions of other people have already said, live long and prosper.
Oh, yeah.
About him. And also, don't call him Dr. Spock. I saw at least a dozen people today on my Facebook feed saying, we're going to miss you, Dr. Spock.
Isn't it Mr.?
Yes, it's Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
Dr. Spock was the...
Totally the baby doc.
That was Dr. Benjamin Spock, the guy who wrote the baby books, which were the official baby books before What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody even reads Dr. Spock anymore, but that's a completely different guy. And by the way, real person, Mr. Spock, fictional person.
Wasn't the doctor on the show? He was, it McCoy or something?
Yeah, Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy.
And he'd go, damn it, Tim, I'm a doctor, not an escalator. When they'd say, can you take this downstairs?
That's correct. Now, I will admit to being kind of a Trekkie. I've never dressed up in any Trek garb. I've never gone to a Trek convention. But I was a young boy when the first show came out and watched all of the episodes for those 3 years and was not happy when it got canceled. And then it went into syndication, and that's when it really started getting popular. And then in 1980, they decided to make a Star Trek movie because Star Wars had been so popular that Paramount Studios said, hey, we've got a little space franchise over here. Let's reboot that. And I remember how disappointed I was in that first Star Trek movie because I saw it in a theater full of people who were really into Star Trek, obviously, and it was long and it was boring and it didn't really have the rhythm of the series, and they were so into showing what we can do with special effects in space, which, by the way, you look back at it now, 35 years later, laughable.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what you can do now with computer-generated stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought, after seeing that, I thought, well, okay, that's going to be it. Boy, was I wrong. Because the next movie they did, The Wrath of Khan, was great. And that really got things going again. And then they did four more after that, including two that Nimoy directed, Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. That's the one with the whales. Which I thought, that was a terrific movie.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you weren't into Star Trek, you could watch that and kind of understand what the characters were all about. And then it went off the rails with the one that Shatner directed, Star Trek V. I think it was called The Final Frontier. And then back to number six, The Undiscovered Country. And then he continued to be Spock for all sorts of other things. But I looked him up today online to find out some other things about him. And I did not know, you know, when we get to the Harris Challenge today, we're going to use Leonard Nimoy's singing.
Oh, the Golden Throats? Yeah. That Golden Throats CD?
Not just Golden Throats, but he put out five of his own albums.
Oh, my goodness.
Including several of them where he sang rock and folk songs. And we'll use that as a punishment music for today's Harris Challenge. But I did not know he actually appeared in a bunch of musicals on stage.
Really?
Yeah. The King and I, Oliver.
I think I knew about The King and I. I think I remember that.
These were not on Broadway, but they were in, you know, maybe in Los Angeles or touring companies, that sort of stuff. I also remember him being in a classic episode of Columbo.
Really?
Which, by the way, is streaming now. I know Netflix has it. If you go back just to see Peter Falk as Columbo.
Pardon me, Mr. Spock. Am I bothering you? Am I bothering you, Mr. Spock?
One more thing, Pointy is.
What's the deal with your fingers? How come they're spread apart?
Yeah, why can't you get them together? He was on an episode of Columbo in 1973 called A Stitch in Crime, which I remember because I remember it having a great plot. You know, some of these crime shows back then and today as well, you watch them and it gets far-fetched and it doesn't really make sense. And at the end of it, you go, where'd that person come from? That can't be what happened. Listen to this. This was the plot of the one that he was in. I looked it up online today. He played cardiac surgeon Dr. Barry Mayfield, who was partners with another doctor played by the actor Will Gear. They had pioneered a major medical breakthrough that Nimoy's character wanted to publish immediately, but Gear's character wanted to continue testing. Then Gear's character has a heart attack, and he needs an emergency bypass. And so Nimoy's character does the surgery. He's a cardiac surgeon. But he plans to kill his partner by putting dissolving sutures in his heart.
Oh.
So, yeah, here I am. I'm in the operating room. I'm stitching him back up. Yeah, we're using...
Patch you right up.
Exactly. But one of the nurses, who was played by an actress named Anne Francis, noticed that the sutures on the tray looked different, and she thought something was wrong, and eventually she mentioned something to Columbo, and Columbo goes after him, and he kills her, Nimoy kills her, and then in the end, of course, Columbo gets him. But it was a really, really good episode, and if you are our Nimoy fan, and you have Netflix, and I think it's also on Amazon Instant Video, you can go back and look for that episode of Columbo. It's called A Stitch in Time from 1973. He was actually given casting approval over who would play him, his character Spock, when they rebooted the series in 2009, and he helped choose Zachary Quinto, the guy who's been playing him since then. I don't know if they're doing a third movie or not, but and it also, the article I was reading today also talks about the Vulcan neck pinch.
Oh, yes.
Remember that was part of it? He had two things. He had the Vulcan mind meld, where he'd put his face on the other person's face, and they would both contort their faces, and their minds would be one, and he could see what the other guy was thinking.
I don't remember that so much. I remember the pinch.
Yeah. Here's what it says in the article I read. Initially, Spock was supposed to knock out an evil Kirk in an episode called The Enemy Within. They were having a fight in the engineering section. And in the original script, Spock was supposed to hit Kirk on the back of the head. But Nimoy said, you know, that's not really what Spock would do. Mm-hmm. And by the way, writers and showrunners love it when an actor tells them, that's not really what my character would do. Yeah, it is, because we wrote it, and that's what the character... By the way, the character that you think you are, we created that, and we wrote it. Everything you've done up until now, we decided your character would do that. You know, we're the ones who came up with evil Spock and evil Kirk. Don't tell me that your character wouldn't do that. But he said, I wouldn't do that. So he said, what if I just pinch him on the shoulder? That would be Spock's non-violent alternative. And the director said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so he showed him, and Shatner, the over-actor that he always has been, did it in such a convincing way. He really, really sold it that the director said, okay, that's good. Let's do that. And from then on, it was referred to as the FSNP, the famous Spock neck pinch. whenever they wrote it into a script, it was that, the FSNP. Thank you. Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock, not Dr. Spock, dead today at the age of 83, and his name will definitely come up in the
How did he die? Harris Challenge was today. He fighting anything?
Yeah, he had chronic, what do they call it? Hold on. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Oh.
He said a couple of years ago that he had quit smoking 30 years ago, and he said that was not soon enough.
Wow.
And now, so 30 years later, he died of... disease related to smoking. Leaves behind his wife and two children and six grandchildren and one great-grandchild. And a lot of people around the world who feel like they're the first to say live long and prosper on Facebook.
Did you ever
R.I.P.
Did you ever see the movie Galaxy Quest?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely great.
I love Galaxy Quest. It makes fun of the Trekkies. It makes fun of anybody that's the Star Wars people. Anybody that goes to those conventions and dresses up.
I think it's the best thing Tim Allen ever did.
I agree.
I think he was good on Home Improvement. And he was okay in the Santa Claus. But in Galaxy Quest, playing a William Shatner-like lead actor on a Star Trek-like TV series... He's fantastic.
And the guy that was the bad guy in Die Hard was in there, too.
Alan Rickman.
Yes.
Who played Hans Gruber in Die Hard.
He was in there.
He plays the Spock-like character in this. And Sigourney Weaver.
With her, oh, my God, her breasts looked tremendous.
Yes, they did. Yeah, the blouse torn open very early on. she's in there. And
Peon would really enjoy that.
Yeah, I think I saw that.
And the guy who played Monk is in there, too.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What's his name? Tony Shalhoub.
And he's the one that was like the guy.
The engineer,
he was like Scotty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, listen, we're having some problems down here.
That's a great imitation, Dan. That's right on the money. Just Sam Rockwell's in it, too. And, yeah, it's a very, very funny movie. It's called Galaxy Quest. Also, I'm sure, streaming now. Yeah. Take a break. We've got lots more to do here. Later on, Colin's going to join me. He's going to review The Lazarus Effect with Olivia Wilde. Thank you. And I've got the new Will Smith movie that is opening today, a con man movie called Focus. We'll get to that. We'll have knuckleheads in the news, Bill Cleveland, Mike Evans, the Harris Challenge. We've only just begun, if I may quote the late Karen Carpenter. And why wouldn't you? Here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Meet me.
And here's a look at traffic right now with Tim Weiland.
All right, Dan, we've got a couple of problems on the highways already. On northbound 55 north of Lindbergh, you've got a crash that has the two right lanes blocked, and you do have a little bit of a backup behind that. We also have a crash. It is on westbound 40 before Clayton Skinker. The left lane was blocked there, and you were backed up a little bit west of the Science Center. And then we've got another crash in North County at Bell Fountain at St. Cyr. And this traffic report is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. When buying a thermometer, trust over 50 published studies supporting the accuracy of the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Your family deserves the best, so pick one up at Walmart or other fine retailers today. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Shall we talk about the weather?
Nothing but blue skies ahead.
One day it's nice, one day it's cold.
And it's going to rain tomorrow.
And now to continue with the report of local weather.
This weather report comes to you from the Government Weather Bureau.
You want to hear this.
When you need accurate weather information to start your day,
remember, you've got Fox 2 meteorologist Glenn Zimmerman.
Every weekday.
Every weekday.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Depend on it.
In health news, a new scientific discovery could spell relief for the millions of Americans who suffer from constant ringing or buzzing in their ears.
That's right, Mike. A U.S. company just released an all-natural, fast-acting product that's scientifically designed to relieve ear ringing and buzzing. It's called RingAway, and it's the first product of its kind.
Jill, this could benefit millions of Americans. It relieves that internal ear noise of ringing or buzzing so people can actually concentrate on their work again and sleep in peace. And you only take it once a day.
This is such a huge discovery. RingAway has now set up a public phone line to let the first 100 people who call try it for free. Mike, do we have that number?
Yes, I've got it right here. It's 1-800-718-9937. Again, RingAway is now letting the first 100 callers try this new breakthrough for free. Call now for details. 1-800-718-9937. That's 1-800-718-9937.
The most important purchase you make is a home, and the most important person you need to talk to and hire is a real estate agent. The best in the St. Louis metropolitan area for the last 17 years, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. How's the market?
The market is hot, McGraw. It is not just a buyer's market anymore. It is a perfect storm for buyers and sellers.
So because that's going on, what does that mean for the homeowner or the home seller?
Home prices have raised almost 8% in the last year, but interest rates are still historically low, so it's a great time to buy and sell.
Many people think they can do this themselves.
They think they can. There's so much more than just putting a sign in the yard. So call us. We'll stage your home. We'll give you an evaluation, and we'll give you the up-to-date market analysis as well as the 500 other things that go on with selling real estate.
That's 17-year full-time producer, realtor, Kathy Helbig of the Kathy Helbig Group. She's a real estate expert, and she's on KSDK Channel 5, and she's here with us on the Big 550 KTRS, 314-726 sold or KathyHelbigGroup.com.
This is Larry Connors. After the storm, who's going to be there to help you pick up all the pieces? You don't have to do it alone. You can count on the roofing experts at John Beal Roofing. Our storm damage response team works around the clock during emergencies, providing tarps, making repairs, giving you peace of mind when you need it most. Protect your family. Protect your investment. Call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Would you like a cleaning product that can be used in the garage, the laundry, and the kitchen, and save space in your cabinet? Hi, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green. Concentrated all-purpose Simple Green is the answer for versatile cleaning throughout your home and garage. I'm so certain you'll love Simple Green. If you're not 100% satisfied, I'll give you your money back. To learn more, visit us at simplegreen.com.
I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, you need to post your job on all the top job sites to find the best candidates. Now, with ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 50-plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/quick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/quick.
This is Jay Hardy of J.B. Smith Funeral Homes in Maplewood and Fenton. You've heard the expression, bigger is better. Well, that's not necessarily true when it comes to funeral homes. Here at J.B. Smith, we're large enough to accommodate any need, yet small enough to provide the understanding your family deserves. We offer one-of-a-kind customer service, and our professionals will be with you every step of the way when planning a memorial, cremation, or burial service. J.B. Smith Funeral Homes, providing hometown values and personalized service for over 80 years.
Hey, it's almost spring. It's time to get ready to sell. Hi, Terry Hall here. Thinking of selling? It's time to figure out, how do you get the most for your home? What's it worth? What's the neighborhood selling for? How long will it take and how much will it cost you? Call me, Terry Hall, and take advantage of all my experience. 314-220-0524. Make the call and get all the answers you need to sell your home. I'm Terry Hall, and my number is 314-220-0524.
It's the Friday edition of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. Later on, Colin will join us and we'll talk about the new movies that are opening. I have mentioned a couple of times on this show that my daughter goes to college in New York, and she has an apartment that she shares there with three other young women, and going to try to find a different place to live next year. And there's nothing I can do to help her. It's 1,000 miles away. I'm not going to look through real estate listings. No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. But I did see a place that I think I want her to, try to get in if she can. It's on the Upper West Side of New York. It's a triplex apartment.
What does that mean?
Three floors.
Oh, three floors.
It's not that big. It's only 10,500 square feet.
That's it?
It's not that, you know.
Oh, it's barely enough room to turn around.
I know. Four bedroom, four baths, six half baths.
Wait, what?
You heard me.
Four bedroom, four baths, six half baths?
Yes, I'm guessing there are two half baths on each floor. In addition, it used to be three different apartments, and they've combined it into one. I'm sorry, it used to be six smaller apartments, and they've combined it into one big apartment.
Honey, I clogged the toilet again. Don't worry about it. We got
another one.
Yeah, go upstairs. Not only do you get that, but you also get a fitness center, a billiards room, a hair salon, a ventilated cigar room. I hate those unventilated cigars.
Oh, man, when you're stuck high up on a high-rise, all that smoke just stuck in there with you?
Yep. The living room is 60 feet long. There's there are several built-in saltwater aquariums, a sushi island bar, outdoor terraces, a six-person jacuzzi in a lounge area overlooking the Hudson River, lots of marble. Just sold. Oh, damn, it just sold.
It did?
$48.5 million.
That's a steal.
For an apartment. Oh, I forgot to mention one very important thing that this apartment has. Three, not one, not two, but three bulletproof panic rooms.
Wow.
Really?
Well, you need one for each floor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You don't have to run upstairs when somebody's breaking into your apartment.
Hold on, robber. I have to go up to the third floor.
Wait, are they connected, though? Can you get to one bulletproof room?
No. There's one. Ian's correct. There's one on each floor.
You have to leave one and run upstairs.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that once you're in there, you're not leaving one to go to another panic room. You're leaving only when you're 100% sure that there's nobody on the other side of that.
Clear.
that would be the phrase I'm looking for, yeah. Here's the best part of this story. By the way, this is bought by, of course, a Saudi prince.
Sure.
For $48.5 million. The guy who used to own it is selling it because he rarely used it.
That just...
That burns you up, doesn't
Imagine
it?
Imagine having so much money that you could have that apartment, $48.5 million apartment. Yeah, we don't really use it that often. You know, we built an addition onto our house about 5, 6, 7 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago, I don't remember. And it's a patio room, but it's not connected to the house, so you have to walk outside on the little patio, and then you go into the patio room. I can say I rarely use that in the winter, but in the spring and the summer and the fall, I'm out there all the time. I don't know what the definition of he rarely used a $48.5 million apartment. Why would you buy the thing if you're not going to go? I mean, an investment?
Well, you have something to go to.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to go to New York, then you have something.
Yeah. Well, no. He was in New York, but he was staying in his $95 million apartment.
That's it. So.
And you could rent each floor out.
No, that's subletting. I don't know if
I don't know.
That.
No, that's
against the code there.
You're right.
Oh, man.
You have to get permission.
Now, speaking of rich people, let's talk about this TV show Shark Tank, which Ian loves.
Shark Tank, yes.
You watch
big
it,
fan.
You watch it every Friday night?
Yes,
you watch
absolutely.
All the reruns on CNBC?
I think I have finally... Angela finally stopped the season pass because she was tired of it. She goes, we've seen this one already, and so I think I finally watched... I don't like the first season, though.
No.
Once Mark Cuban came on,
yes.
It was a lot better.
Who was the guy who was on there in the first season?
He was an As Seen on TV guy. He was in charge of a lot of those As Seen on TV products.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. I won't watch those.
Every once in a while,
I'll
watch on like a Tuesday night on CNBC, and he'll be on. I turn it right off.
What is it, Colin? Go ahead.
Kevin Harrington.
Thank
there you.
You
go.
Thank you very much. News director Colin Jeffrey
trivia
right on top
champion.
Of that. Yes, trivia champion. Kevin Harrington, I did not like him either. There is a story from the Associated Press this week about how many of the deals that we see on the show actually turn into deal, or how many of the people who go on the show actually get a deal. Somebody did the math on this. During the first 5 seasons of the show, 374 entrepreneurs or groups of entrepreneurs, because sometimes it's 2 or 3 people, went on there. Investors made 190 offers. Which
about
means
half.
That about half of them
yeah.
got an offer, and about
I saw
half
that
of them
breakdown.
Walked away.
Did you see the same one where he breaks down each individual investor and what percentage of deals they made and the money numbers?
No,
somebody spent a huge amount of time essentially making a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Of they compiled everything, percentages and
okay,
how
well,
much money.
I'm going to guess that Kevin Leary has the fewest number of investments.
Yes, I think that
Mr.
was
Wonderful,
correct.
As he
yes.
calls himself on that show. He's just—he can just be an anal jerk. I think it's about the money. Don't
yes.
tell me about anything else.
Yeah.
I only care about the money.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, and by the way, if you're an entrepreneur, let's talk about this for just a second here. I don't know much about this because I've never been in business. But if you're an entrepreneur and you've taken the time and the effort and the energy and your own money to start up a business, and you're running it. And you realize, okay, we're at a point now where we need to get other people involved. Other people's money has to get involved here for us to grow. And it'd be nice if we had somebody who had some expertise and we'll bring them in. Wouldn't you want to have somebody who you could get along with and work with? Why would anybody ever make a deal with this guy, Kevin Leary?
I don't know, but he's had a couple success ones that they do the updates sometimes.
Yeah.
But
they all, you know, the Shark Tank updates on the show, they're never going to have now a Shark Tank update. Kevin Leary invested $150,000 in this one, and it went belly up in a week.
Right. Yes. No, they don't show the
you're never going to see that.
Yeah.
It's always how these people got so incredibly successful. But this AP story this week talks about some people who went on the show who clearly did not want investments. They wanted just the publicity.
Exposure. Yeah, absolutely.
Because getting on that show gets them a lot of money. There's one company called The Smart Baker that went on there in March of 2012. Before they went on the show, they had $130,000 in revenue. They went on there. They were offered a deal by Barbara Corcoran. She wanted to offer them $75,000 for 40% and a 5% royalty. And they said, well, you know, we don't really like that. And they disagreed with her about some of the business stuff they were talking about. So they turned her down. So they had $130,000 3 years ago when they went on the show. Now they're a $1 million company.
Wow.
Because people see them on Shark Tank, and even though they don't make a deal,
yeah,
people see whatever the product is, and
I want to invest.
Well, there was the
no,
guy.
No, they don't want to invest. They want to buy it. They go out and they buy that product.
Yeah, it's just essentially a commercial, a 10-minute
right.
commercial.
Yes.
There was the guy that they were so frustrated with. He sold, it was Copa di Vino. It was wine by the cup.
Yes, I saw that guy.
Yes, and he was on twice and turned them all down twice.
He was on twice?
Yes.
Why'd they have him back?
Because, I don't know. I guess it was either...
You weren't watching a rerun?
No, because they were all so mad that he turned them all down again the second time. So, yeah, you almost wonder if that was his motive going on there. I think they liked the. It must have been a big ratings boost when he was on there the first time, just because the frustration that was going on between.
Yeah.
I think it was between Kevin O'Leary and the guy.
Now, did you see last week's episode, last Friday night's episode? Because I heard there was a big fight about Lori Grenier making an offer too soon.
Yes.
What was that about? I haven't watched it.
It was
yet.
An app. It was the guy made an app for college scholarships. Yes. Thank you, Colin. Colin's in my ear. Scholarships, grants, and things. And he's compiled them all where you can, you know, put in all your different information and it'll pop up which ones you might be eligible for.
Okay.
And so, of course.
As a father of a kid in college, that sounds like something we could have used.
I think it's
when
a great app.
Away.
Yeah. And so.
I could use that now. Course,
yeah, your kid's going to college next year.
Robert Herjavec.
Yeah, Herjavec.
Herjavec and Mark Cuban, they're both in the tech field. So they wanted to ask more questions about that. But Lori and Damon jumped in and gave him essentially what he was asking for right away before any of those questions were asked.
Yeah.
So they were just kind of questioning. You don't know this. You don't know this yet. Why? And they essentially, it was just like they were saying, you essentially just gave him a gift. Like you don't know all the particulars.
You haven't done any due diligence on this at all.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the other part of this story that came out this week is 190 offers out of 374 presentations, let's call them. But that doesn't count the ones that afterwards the entrepreneur, you know, kind of said, I don't like this. Or the investor sometimes will do due diligence on it and say, oh, those numbers they told us on camera, there's no real basis for that.
Oh, right. Yeah, some are made with, you know, restrictions on it. Or this has to happen for this deal to happen.
I'll give you the $250,000, but this has to be...
If we get a licensing deal
Or this has to be true and that has to be true and you have to agree to this number of outlets or whatever it is. And here's the other thing I didn't know. The producers of Shark Tank... They get a piece of every deal.
They do?
Yes. Every single deal, which is why they don't mind having the show go on in reruns on CNBC, or if ABC reruns it the rest of the year, they don't mind because that's just more
advertising.
Because even though people who turn down the deal, who don't make a deal with Cuban or any of the other people...
You're still going to pursue.
You still owe the producers, Mark Burnett and whoever the production company is, they still get a percentage going forward. So when you agree to go on Shark Tank, you're agreeing to give up, I don't know, it's probably just like 2%.
Or maybe not even a full percentage point, but if you add all those up, I mean.
Wow, everyone.
I love that show.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan.
It's really, really, really well done.
It just makes me mad, though, because... I start kicking myself. Come on, you can come up with some idea here.
Oh, I know. When you look at somebody that comes up with some goofy idea, and you're like, oh, that's right in front of my face. Why couldn't I think of that?
And then you see the updates. Yeah, when we started with $50,000 in sales, now we're up to $5 million a year in sales.
Right. Yeah.
The guys, especially the guys that made they made a strip that fits in between your car seat.
Oh, yes, I saw this one.
And the middle console.
This is a classic example of how could that not have come to any of us.
I know.
So, because people are, you know, you're always dropping your phone down there.
Or coins or
food
a pen or
yeah, so, yeah, food. Me eating in the car. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, so it's essentially just a black piece of fabric that fits right in there.
Right.
They're selling millions
of them. It's like the bumpers they have around the crib. Same thing, but it's around there. And You know what that they should have called it the French fry on the floor preventer, because there's not a car in America that doesn't have at least one French fry underneath the front seats.
Yeah.
Petrified after all those years. Exactly right. And then they do those and they get there, and sometimes they get with, what's her name, the QVC woman,
Lori
Grenier.
They get in Walmart and Target. And,
right. And then she puts them on QVC. And it's like, yeah, last year we had sales of 6,000. The next year we had sales of 16 million.
Yes.
What? Yeah. Hmm. But I will tell you this. I know some people who are involved with tech startups here in St. Louis. I don't know if you know this, but St. Louis is second to Silicon Valley in terms of tech startups.
I didn't know that.
We've got a whole bunch of them down on Washington Avenue and just east of King's Highway behind the WashU Medical Center complex.
Dr.
There.
Doug's sons, the Pernikoff brothers, not only are they great musicians, they are tech guys and they have a tech business.
Yeah, there are a lot of startups here, but it's not just about coming up with the idea. And see, here's where you and Dan and I would fall a little bit short.
Yes.
Even if we came up with the idea, most of the people who are in that, they work their butts off all day long, working on things, perfecting it, taking it to the next level. Look what we do for a living.
Yes.
Working your butts off all day long, it's not in us. Let's be honest.
Yeah. I got to do what?
There's a reason we're not going to be on Shark Tank.
I'm getting up at 7 in the morning and doing what?
Yeah, listen, I write some trivia questions once a week. Will you give me some money for that?
No.
I have a button that if anybody says anyway, I catch them.
Anyway.
Right there with Bernice's voice.
Do you have any sales? No.
Let's talk about money.
Yes.
The button is funny, but what about the money?
I love my money.
Money. That's what it is. 354 at the Big 550 KTRS.
All right. Let's see how traffic looks. And here's a guy that has copyrighted and everything there is about traffic. It's Tim Weiland.
Yeah, right.
He is wealthy.
I wish.
That was
all
about
right.
The best introduction to a traffic guy.
I know. Isn't that great?
Right.
Was that all ad-lib, too?
Yeah.
Did you have that written down?
Yeah, it was ad-lib.
This is why we don't come up with ideas that are worth anything. That was the best we had, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
we're done.
Hurts.
We actually have to take a nap now. We're wiped out.
Oh, my back hurts. I'm having a hard time concentrating. And
you can't go on Shark Tank and say, look, I'm sorry my presentation sucks, but my back hurts.
Yeah. I like what Paul just said. You just did that, and he's wiped out. You got to take a break.
We're
That's
done.
My style.
There you go.
Hey, they're still working with this crash on northbound 55 north of Lindbergh. The two right lanes are blocked. We also have some heavy traffic coming in on westbound 270 between 203 to the Canal Bridge. Eastbound 270 is heavy from Lindbergh through 170 and westbound 40. We're getting the volume now between Kings Highway and McCausland. We're looking slow again, 270 out through Mason. This traffic report is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. The cold weather can really do a number on your battery. Stop by Advance and they'll test it for you free at Advance Auto Parts. From the Golden Oak Lending Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Getting you up to date as you head to work.
McGraw in the morning.
Some say he's just a legend.
On the Big 550 KTRS.
Depend on it.
For over 30 years, Stefanina's has been serving delicious original family recipes brought from Sicily to America by founder Stefanina herself. Outstanding food, large portions, low prices, and great service in a family atmosphere has made Stefanina's one of the area's finest Italian restaurants. With four locations in St. Charles County and one in Chesterfield, Stefanina's is a place to go for everything from pizza and pasta to steak and seafood dinners that the entire family can enjoy. And now you can save even more with their daily specials. Call ahead or order online at steffspizza.com or dine in. But don't miss these savings.
Hey, pizza lovers, it's Friday. That means you can enjoy two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95 at Stefanina's. Call your local Stefanina's or Stefanina's Express location or order online at steffspizza.com. Two large, two-topping pizzas for only $22.95, just in time for the weekend at Stefanina's.
The Big 550 celebrates unsung Black American heroes, people you may not have heard of who help make our way of life possible.
Hi, I'm Kelly Jackson. The next time you grab your toolbox, think of Jack John Arthur Johnson. He was the first African-American heavyweight champion, then was charged with violating the Mann Act for dating and marrying white women and ended up in prison. While there in 1922, he invented a tool to help tighten loose fastening devices. He called it the wrench.
Stay tuned during February as we celebrate Black History Month on the Big 550 KTRS.
If you'd like to see more clearly without contacts or glasses, but you don't think there's a LASIK procedure that can help you, the first thing you need to see clearly is the truth. Because LASIK procedures are now available for more vision problems than ever. Nearsightedness, farsightedness, even astigmatism. Get all the eye-opening facts now from LASIK.com and see how we can offer a solution that's right for you. We can even offer a solution that's right for your wallet, too, including $400 off the LASIK procedure that's right for you. Individual results may vary. So call now, 1-800-600-8239. LASIK.com provides answers to commonly asked questions, brings you up to speed on the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology, and gives you access to America's leading LASIK providers. So if you want to see more clearly without glasses, get the facts about the LASIK solution that's right for you, and find out how to get $400 off, that's $200 per eye, at LASIK.com, call now, 1-800-600-8239. That's 1-800-600-8239.
Would you like a cleaning product that can be used in the garage, the laundry, and the kitchen, and save space in your cabinet? Hi, I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green. Concentrated all-purpose Simple Green is the answer for versatile cleaning throughout your home and garage. I'm so certain you'll love Simple Green. If you're not 100% satisfied, I'll give you your money back. To learn more, visit us at SimpleGreen.com. Simple Green.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all by yourself. It's easy and free. You don't have to be a programmer. Just drag and drop everything into place. It's your website, your style. Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your own stunning website today. It's easy and free.
News, weather, traffic, sports, and live local talk. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis. Ledoux, Glen Carbon, University.